know, last Sunday, this mic was working fine. I just had it on mute. But that's another proof that I'm a low-tech person. Well, let's read today's passage. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Short passage, Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The title of the passage is John the Baptist Prepares the Way. I'll be reading from the, this is the NIV version. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod, patriarch of Galilee, his brother, Philip, patriarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, patriarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation." Each nation of the world, they proclaim a message. Each nation stands for something, and each nation has its own ideal. For example, during the revolution, the modern France, they declared freedom and equality. With the Declaration of Independence, the American colonies, they proclaimed life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And North Korea, they believe and they preach self-reliance. That was their message. And these days, the so-called the free nations, they preach democracy, freedom of speech, and capitalism. And we know that some European countries, they preach modest socialism. And perhaps the most prominent message among the nations these days is from the U.S. The American dream. It's in all, in many of the American movies. If you work hard, you can make it in the States. If you work hard, you can be rich and famous. If you work hard, then you can climb up the social ladder and become a successful person. It's basically a message of social mobility. And you know, these days, I think it's getting harder and harder. I think it's more difficult for people to climb up the ladder. But anyway, the U.S. still claims to be the land of opportunity. Then how about God's kingdom? What kind of message does God's kingdom proclaim about itself? Now, right before the Messiah comes, we see John the Baptist appear in the desert, and he preaches about God's kingdom. And you know, if it's a proclamation about God's kingdom, you would expect something grand, something nice, something spectacular, glorious. But what John shouts sounds really strange to our ears. It says this, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." That was John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And you think, what kind of kingdom preaches such a message? Sounds really strange. When Luke introduces John, he lists all the names of the powerful people that ruled that region at the time. And Herod the Great was one of them. And Herod had been really brutal to Jewish people with his taxes. And his sons continued the same policy. So the Jews were getting sick of the Roman rule and oppression. They were ripe for a change. You know, Obama shouted, you know, change. And the Jews, they were just ripe for change. They were longing for God to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. And it was in this setting that John the Baptist appears. And he proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Now, how was that supposed to be a good news? That doesn't sound like a good news to me. That sounds really strange. That's not what people wanted to hear. That sounded irrelevant. The message of John was bitter pill to swallow. And it was not really an appealing message at all. And yet, people flocked to John the Baptist. I mean, people all over Judea came to hear John preach and to be baptized by John. John drew huge crowds because people knew that John was speaking the truth. They knew in their heart that John was speaking the truth. Now, getting baptized was sort of new to the Jews. The Jews thought that baptism of repentance was only for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. They didn't think that they needed baptism of repentance. After all, we are the chosen ones. We are the children of Abraham. We don't need to be baptized. We don't need to repent. It's for the Gentiles and the sinners. But John's message shattered their sense of false security. Being a descendant of Abraham does not mean that you are a child of God. Even the children of Abraham had to repent to receive God's forgiveness. So that was the first Advent. How about the Advent in the year 2012, these days? You know, right after Thanksgiving, I hear Christmas music on the radio station. I hear Christmas music in shopping malls. It just starts. I think these days they play those music even before Thanksgiving. You know, just Christmas holiday, you know, just comes faster and faster. And your kids, they ask you, "Oh, I want this Christmas, I want that Christmas." They keep reminding you. So you go to the shopping malls to do some Christmas shopping. And your kids, they say, "Oh, we need to light up their Christmas tree." So you get out that Christmas tree from your garage and you set it up and you put on the lights and the decorations and you get ready. And maybe you stand on that long line on Black Friday. Has anybody done that on Black Friday? I've never done that. I don't think I'll ever do it. I don't want to wait that long for any product. But I've seen, people, Korean or Asian ladies, they go like 2 p.m. in the morning and they wait on the line to get the product they want. They give them that. And it's time to buy lots of Christmas cards. I haven't done it yet, but you gotta buy cards and write the Christmas cards to your friends, and to relatives. And it's time to attend dinner parties, other people's dinners, and you invite other people to come to your house. You invite your relatives and friends for Christmas party or Christmas dinner. And you have to clean your house, you have to cook, you have to get ready, you have to prepare. So Advent is a season of preparation. Rather, I want to say it's a season of hectic, busy preparation. And into our Advent business enters John the Baptist each year. And he demands a preparation of a different kind. Before we open that Christmas gift, John forces us to examine our motives, to examine our lives, our values, our priorities. He challenges us with the message of repentance. And we don't want to hear that, but he keeps saying, keeps challenging us with the message of repentance. So what is repentance? We've heard this analogy. It's a very popular analogy. Many preachers say it's making a U-turn. You're driving down the highway, driving down the road. You're going away from God. You're heading toward the opposite direction. And at one point, you hear the good news, you hear the message, and you make a U-turn, and then now you're heading back toward God. That seems like a very good analogy of repentance. That's pretty good. But the problem with that analogy is that it makes people think that repentance is once in a lifetime event. If you repented once, then you don't need to repent anymore. You're going in the right direction. So you do not repent. You do not need to repent anymore. But the Protestant reformers thought of repentance as an ongoing spiritual exercise. It's something that we do constantly. This is what Calvin says from the Institutes, talking about repentance. The meaning is that departing from ourselves, we turn to God. Turning. And having taken off our former mind, we put on a new. On this account, repentance can thus be defined. It is turning of our life to God. When we call this a turning of our life to God, we require a transformation. Not only in outward works, but in the soul itself. So the Reformers did not view repentance as once in a lifetime event. It was a continual departing of away from sin and turning ourselves to God. It is a constant putting off of ourselves, our old nature, and putting on the new, putting on Christ. It is a continual transformation. Now, if I use that driving analogy, repentance is not only a U-turn, but this is repentance as well. You're going in the right direction. You're on the highway, you're driving, and maybe you get off the wrong exit, and you start to kind of drive slightly in the wrong direction, another direction. When you realize that, you have to turn your way. And you get back on that highway that God wants you to be on. That's repentance. That could be a repentance. Or perhaps you're driving and you get off one exit and you're just stuck there. You don't want to travel. You're stuck there and you're not making progress. You're not moving. Then you have to put on your keys, and put your key in the car and you start your car and you need to get moving. That's repentance too. Anytime you renounce your sinful ways and you turn to God, that's repentance. That's change. If we believe that Jesus is coming back as the King, if we believe that Jesus is going to come, then how can we prepare the way for the King's coming? This is what John says. We are to repent, not just once in our life. We repent constantly. Whenever we turn away from God, we need to repent. That's what John says. Now, when the Jews came to hear John the Baptist, the Pharisees and the scribes came to hear him as well. These were the good folks. They were the zealous religious keepers. They were obedient to God's commands. It came because they were fearful that John might be speaking the truth. They came and heard John, but they did not get baptized because they never intended to change. They never intended to, they had no intention of getting repenting. They liked the status quo and they thought they were good enough for God. You don't need baptism. You don't need to change. That's for Gentiles and sinners. We are good enough. We're good. We're righteous. Maybe that is our attitude as well. Maybe we hear the message of repentance and think that it doesn't apply to us anymore. Oh, that's for the new believers. Gospel message, that's for the unbelievers. That's not for me. Maybe we hear the gospel message, but we have no intention of repenting. No intention of change. But what can bring us God's forgiveness is repentance. There's no other way. It's not our status. It's not blood. It's not ritual. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's what we have to do. Prepare for the King's coming. And that's why John the Baptist appears in our lectionary each year. John makes us uncomfortable. He is the unwelcome guest in this season. And yet, his message cannot be avoided. Christmas was not meant to make us feel good, but Christmas was meant to change our lives. Now, when our family moved from Michigan to California, on the first week of November, we have two cars, right? One Toyota Matrix and Toyota Camry. And Camry is for my wife and our kids, and Camry and the Matrix is for myself. And I drove Matrix, and I drove it across the continent, past Iowa and all these states. And I passed the wilderness of Utah and Nevada, and came into the promised land of California. That's great. You know, before I drove that car, I took it to a dealership, and I had to get it examined, because, you know, I thought I need to prevent any accidents from happening, check for potential problems. So I found out that it needed an oil change, it needed new transmission oil, it needed brand new brakes, but that cost a lot. And it needed wheel alignment, and I haven't, you know, done that in years. So like when I drove that car, I could feel the handle shake. And I just drove like that. I didn't want to get an alignment. And after I had everything fixed, and I drove the car, and it felt like a new car. It drove so smoothly. It was like, wow, this is a good car. It drives like a new car. It's great. I felt so good. I really enjoyed the drive. Until Nevada. I was really feeling good. But you know, I think that the car drove so well mainly because of one thing. Wheel alignment. I didn't know it was that important. The wheels were reoriented in their right positions. The car drove smoothly. And I feel that's what repentance is like. It's the realignment of our values. Reorientation of our purposes, our priorities, our commitments. You reorient your heart, your goal, your vision toward God, and you turn away from your idols and your sinful practices. So repentance will cost you something, just as it cost me to fix my car. Repentance will cost you something. You know, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, he had to pay back four times the amount that he cheated. So repentance will cost us something. But once we have repented, we will experience great joy. God's love. God's peace. Once you have repented, you are in for a smooth ride. So Advent is a time for us to examine ourselves, and maybe our church as well. Is there anything that might be offensive to God in my personal life? Is there anything that might be offensive to God in my family life? Is there anything that might be offensive to God in our church life? Before we preach the message of repentance, forgiveness to other people, we first have to look at ourselves and do the repentance first. It's a hard work, but we need to do that hard work first. Now, I think Advent is similar to Lent in one aspect. My mom, when she was going through the period of Lent, it was a couple of years ago. She told me this after Easter. She said, "You know, Joe, this year I really tried to participate in Christ's suffering this year during Lent and she examined herself and she repented of her sins and she really tried to do a self-examination. And she told me, Joe, that this year, more than any other year, I experienced great joy on Easter Sunday because I've repented, I've gone to self-examination. And I think that same principle applies for Advent season as well. When we examine ourselves, our priorities, our values, and we reorient our hearts in our direction toward God, then we will experience a joyful Christmas, a meaningful Christmas. And what we can get from repentance is much better than what the American dream offers. Repentance is a way for us to prepare for things coming. So let us bow our heads. Let us take some time to reflect upon our lives, examine our hearts, and see where we stand. And can we just confess our sins and reorient our hearts to God? Let's spend a few minutes praying and repenting before God. Father, our Lord, and our King, search our hearts, examine our motives, see if there is any offensive way in us, empower us to turn away from sin and run to you, help us to experience the joy of forgiveness in a fresh way, and lead us into the way everlasting. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Attention, s'il y avait un mot.